Amen. Brother Nick can sing, can he? Yeah. Amen. That was good stuff. That was a blessing. You should have had a handout. We get handouts out tonight.
Yep.
All right, good. I think most of the scriptures are in there that we will look at tonight. We are in the book of Proverbs, chapter 29. And Pastor was able to go down a little bit early to the couple's retreat. Glad he's able to do that. And by the way, aren't you thankful for our pastor?
Yeah.
And I am so thankful that God gave us Pastor Myers to lead us. And man, he's just, God's using him. God's using him to lead our church for what God wants to do in this place at this time here in Long Beach. And as our church influences even outside of that. Now, I hope to be a help tonight. Pastor asked me last week if I would preach, and the whole time I was planning on preaching something else. And then 2 days ago, I was reading something. I thought, you know what? I'm going to put a sermon together on this tonight. So I don't think I will be long, but hopefully I will be a little bit of a help. Now, I don't plan to be long, but I don't plan to be as quick as Brother Walker was on Sunday night. How many of you caught that? He started wrapping it up like 20 minutes early. I was thinking, man, we have time for In-N-Out or wherever we're going to go after the service. And so no guarantees. I tell my family, we're going to go to Chick-fil-A tonight, only on Sundays. I'll get you whatever you want. They're closed on Sundays. And so, all right, Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 18. Pray for Pastor. Look forward to seeing him when we get down to the retreat in just a couple days. Proverbs 29, the title of the short thought or the message here tonight is, what's the vision? What's the vision? Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 18 says this. It says, where there is no, what's the next word?
Vision.
Talk to me. Where there is no what?
Vision.
Vision. The people what?
Perish.
Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. How many of you have been at Pacific Baptist Church at least 10 years? One decade. An entire decade. Wow. Wow. By the way, thanks for being here on an off night. I know we've got Pash out. I know quite a few people sick. Still a good crowd for a midweek service. Thanks for being here. 10 years. How many of you, and that's probably, I want to say, two-thirds, three-quarters of us here tonight. How many of you have been here, let's say 15 years? 15 years. Okay, look around. Man, one thing that I love about our church is the longevity of our faithful members and the longevity of our staff. And you don't see that everywhere you go. A lot of times, sometimes some places, it's a revolving door, right? So thank God for that. How about 20 years? 20 years? Okay. Slim down a little bit, but not too much. Amen. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being faithful. Those of us that have been here for any length of time will know that what I'm going to say in the introduction is true. In June of 2025, I will have been on staff in ministry for 20 years, two decades. And that just, again, that's God's grace. And many of you, you just raised your hand, 20 years. I think of Brother Ron, been serving in the junior department 20 plus years. Brother Jeremy up there, I've been teaching, I want to say, the same class for about 20 years, maybe 21 years. Talk about longevity. Praise the Lord for that. By the way, God does not measure our life, we say, in years. He measures it in what?
Decades.
Oh, talk to me. In what?
Decades.
In decades, right? And not a flash in the pan, not a twinkle in the eye, not a fly-by-night, but no, decades of faithfulness to the Lord. But those of us that have been here for any length of time will know this to be true. There are many people who at one point in their life were excited about the things of the Lord. They were excited about serving the Lord.
Yeah.
They were excited about the Christian life.
Yeah.
They had a joy that when they walked into a room, that joy was evident. When they came to church, there was a pep in their step.
Yeah.
When they walked into a room, they brightened it up. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was working in their life, and because they had the joy of the Lord, they were just excited to be part of what the Lord was doing in their life and around them. They were energy givers that brought life to those around them, but we know this to be true. How often have we seen it that those same people that had that joy and had that passion and had that zeal and had that excitement about serving God and had that pep in their step are only a mere, they're here every single week, but they're only a shell of what they once were. Now the smile sags. The pep in their step, it drags, and the energy, it lags. You say, why did that happen? How can this be? Why is this the case? More often than not, when this happens, it is because an individual or a ministry or a family has lost a God-given vision. You once had a vision of what God could do in your life, but it's no longer there. You say, what do you mean? I talked to a young man today in my office, actually a couple along these same lines, but one specifically, and we were talking about marriage, hopefully in the future, near future. We were talking about possible future ministry opportunities, and you know what, Brother Angel? He had a little passion to his voice. He had a little zeal to him with what we were talking about. You know why that was? Because there was a vision of something that he was pressing towards. And that vision gave him some passion for what we were talking about. What do you mean when you say you've lost your God-given vision? Well, God has put within every single one of us the desire, my dad used to say, for significance. Why is that? Because we were created in the image of God, and God aspires to do great things, and we likewise have a desire for our life to count and not to be a non-factor when the time comes for us to die. God's put within every one of us the desire to be significant, to live our lives for something bigger than ourselves, to do something of eternal value, to be part of something great for the kingdom of God. But when we no longer have that, we often find ourselves adrift on the sea of life, floating with no direction, no purpose, no joy, no passion, and without direction. I remember I was at a gas station. It was me, and it was another one of the college men when I was in college. Those of you who've been here 20 years, you remember when I was in Bible college. And I remember we were at a gas station, and this man who God had called to preach pulled up behind us. Brother John pulls up behind us, and he starts a conversation with us. And we were telling him how, man, God's using us on the bus routes, and we're excited about going to preach, and we're excited about all these things that God was doing. Brother John, you know what he said? He was called to preach. In fact, at one time, he was an adult Sunday school teacher here at our church. He said, I have the quote here. He said, don't worry. One day, you'll settle down too. And by the way, at that time, he was a non-factor. You see what happened? He lost his God-given purpose. He lost a vision of what God wanted to do and what God should be doing in his life. Some of us, at one point, we had a passion and a vision to make our lives count for eternity. We know that we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give account of the things done in our body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. We had a passion to live for the judgment seat of Christ. Some of us, at one time, we had a passion and a vision for our marriages to be all that they could be for Christ. We had a vision that they would be the picture that Christ wants them to be, a picture of Christ's love for his church and the relationship that Christ has to his church. And that was our vision for our marriage. Oh, but maybe a little bitterness crept in. Oh, maybe kids came along. Maybe our schedule changed. And you say, you know what? It's not what I thought it would be, but I'm just going to settle with how it is. No, don't lose the vision for your marriage. Get it back. Get it back. Get it back. Some of us had a dream not just to have good kids, but to have godly kids. Yeah. And we thought, I'm not just going to settle for the status quo, the average Joe where my kids, they settle in, play sports, play video games, go get a good job, and they're a non-factor in the fight for God. No, I want to raise a generation of warriors for my sons and ladies that are virtuous young ladies. But maybe life's happened, and maybe we hit a rough spot as teenagers. Maybe we had a wayward child, and we've lost that vision. I want to say, don't lose the vision. Get it back. By the way, we talk about the multi-generational vision at Pacific Baptist Church. May we never, when we're in our 30s, when we're in our 40s, when we're in our 50s, when we're in our 60s, when we're in our 70s, and even if we live to be 80, let us never lose a multi-generational vision. Let us keep the vision before us at Pacific Baptist Church. Maybe we had a purpose and a vision to be a part of what Pacific Baptist Church was doing, both here in Long Beach, soul winning and ministry and what God's doing around the world. And we had that passion and we had that vision and God was working in our heart. But somehow, some way, we've allowed a temporal value system to steal that. We've allowed other things to creep in and we no longer have that vision that God once gave us. I want to challenge us tonight. Get the vision back. Maybe it's something that God's been tugging in our heart for a long time to step out in faith to do something in ministry. Maybe it's to teach a Sunday school class. Maybe it's to get on a bus route. Maybe it's to surrender to go out and plant a church or go to the mission field, young people, middle-aged people, maybe some of us that are a little bit older. And we know that God at one time reached down and he touched our hearts. It wasn't emotions. It wasn't just a preacher preaching. It was God Almighty. Get the vision back. Get the vision back. Pacific Baptist School teachers, maybe you started in the school with a vision to train the next generation. And I know, where's Miss Hannah? Oh, I think she's probably in Patch. God bless any teacher that has Andrew. My goodness. Is he here in service tonight? Yes, he is, because he wasn't trusted to go to Patch tonight. Okay. He should be in Patch. School teachers, I know the pay's not making you rich. At one point, you had a vision to train the next generation of young minds, not just to articulate well, not just reading, writing, math, science, social studies, and arithmetic, but you had a vision to use your classroom as the building blocks of young people that would in turn consecrate their lives and go on and do great things for Christ. Yeah. Let me challenge you. Don't lose the vision. Don't lose the vision. Staff, I can talk about myself and all of us. Staff, when we got into ministry, we did it because we had a vision to give our life to the Lord's work. It wasn't a job, it was a mission. It wasn't a career, it was a life purpose. We didn't see dollar signs, instead we saw eternal dividends. Let me say this, don't lose sight of why we got into the ministry. If we see it as just a job, we'll quit. If we see it as just we're doing it for a paycheck, I know none of us are, thank you, staff. We'll throw in the towel. Don't lose the vision of why we do what we do. Bus captain, you used to see your kids and say, I don't want them to just come on Sundays, I want them to grow and come Sunday nights. I want them to grow and to the point where we get them in the Christian school and maybe God will call them to go do something great for God. Bus captains, don't lose that. Single mom, maybe you had a vision. You said, I know I don't have a spouse to help me out and I know that I'm going to have to I'm going to have to push twice as hard. And you've had a vision to see your young people make it. I know it's tough. I can't say that I've been in your shoes because I've not, but I've sat down and seen enough tears of single dads and single moms to know it's tough. But I want to say this, stay at it. Keep the vision before you. Stay at it. It'll be worth it when you see your young person saved and consecrated and doing something great for God. Don't lose the vision. Keep the vision before you. Amen. Sunday school teacher, you used to pray and you used to have a passion to see not just your Sunday school class as, all right, Sunday morning, what's the lesson for today? Alertness, attentiveness, truthfulness, endurance, whatever we're going through this week and get up and teach. You used to see yourself as an important part of the building blocks, the training ministry of the young people at our church. And I want to say this, keep that vision before you. Don't let it get lost. Maybe you're a layman. God's called you to be a core faithful layman in our church. And you used to have a vision to see souls saved. You used to have a vision to come alongside your Sunday school teacher or the pastor's vision. And I want to challenge you. God has a great vision for our church. The staff can't do it. Everyone's got to do it. Don't lose the vision. I want to ask tonight, I think you have this in your notes. What's the vision? What do you do? What are you living for? And why do you do what you do? What's the purpose? Let's follow our notes here. For which you are living. Are we living life on purpose, with a purpose, or are we simply existing? Tonight, I want to encourage each of us to keep the vision before us. Maybe you're new. God has something for you to do as part of the kingdom of Christ. Maybe you've been here for a long time and you've let the vision go. I want to challenge you tonight. Get it back, get it back, get it back. Whatever it was that God spoke to you about. Maybe you've kept the vision going, and I want to challenge you to continue that tonight. Now, I want to look at three stages of a God-given vision that all of us can take part in tonight. Let's look here, number one, quickly. You say, Brother Joseph, you've been up there for about 10 minutes, and you're only into your introduction. We've got 19 minutes left. How are you going to finish the rest of the sermon? We're going to do it. It's going to be good. First, what is the first step in realizing a God-given purpose or God-given vision? We're going to look at the life of Joseph tonight and reference some others in Scripture that God gave a dream or a vision to and how that came to pass in their life. Number one, we see the birth of the vision. A birth of the vision. Let's look at Genesis chapter 37, verse number 5 here. Of course, this is the story of Joseph, Genesis 37 through, we see 40, where it comes to fruition. The Bible says, and Joseph dreamed a what? Oh, talk to me. Joseph dreamed a what? This is God coming down and giving Joseph a vision. When God speaks to us and he has something for us to do, which, by the way, he has something for every one of us as an individual, as a couple, as a family, and even more broadly, as a church, God has something for us to do. God has a vision, a plan, a purpose for your life. Yep. Let's not get caught up. We got to pay the bills. We got to go to work. But it's bigger than that. It's something that God calls us to do for eternity. So Joseph dreamed a dream and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. We see that men and women in Scripture who dreamed for God had a time in their life where the dream or the vision or the purpose was birthed. It wasn't always clear, but sometimes it was simply a God-given desire that was sometimes foggy, but it was from God. I love to ask our college students this when they come to college. I love to sit down over coffee. Amen. How many of you coffee drinkers out there? Okay. Amen, amen, amen. My brother Tim hooked it up with a very, very nice coffee setup in my office. I can turn the sink on. I've got water coming. I've got the little rinse pitcher right there, and I can do that. I can lattes all day. I got the latte machine. Oh, I'm spoiled. It's a blessing. I love coffee. Can you tell? We'll sit down for coffee, and one of the questions I always ask, and by the way, it'd be a good question to ask. I would say, hey, what do you see God doing with your life 5 and 10 years from now? Then I like to ask this question. I will ask and say, if God gave you a blank check, what do you see yourself doing 5 and 10 years from now? How we answer that question is very revealing. The Bible says that if we delight ourselves also in the Lord, what will he do? He'll give us the desires of our heart. That doesn't mean that he's going to give us whatever we want. That means that he's going to make his desires our desires. He downloads his desires into our heart. If we are walking with God, we are desiring God, God is going to give us desires. And sometimes we have a desire, man, you know, the pastor stands up there and he preaches and we're sitting in our pew and he says, hey, we need bus drivers. And you think, man, I'd kind of like to do that. Hey, we need Sunday school teachers. I think I can do that. Hey, we need more missionaries. Man, that scares the fire out of me. But maybe I could do that someday. You know, that might just be a God-given desire being birthed in your life. Maybe it's a desire to just be a better soul winner. Maybe it's a desire to be part of some ministry that you know you're talented, you know you're gifted, maybe you're scared of the commitment, but you know you can make a difference. That might just be God birthing a desire within you for his cause here in this place and in the kingdom of the Lord. Abraham was given before I go there, let me say this. My dad used to often say that God's will is like a what? Y'all remember that? A Polaroid picture, all right? Now, they used to be old, and then they came back again. I think they faded out again, right? The kids were running around with the Polaroids. You snap it, shh. We get saved. We get baptized. We consecrate our lives to the Lord, and what happens? We snap the picture, right? Lord, what do you want me to do? Snap the picture. We say, God, tell me, what is it? What's the vision? And we start to look there and we try to make it out. And of course, we're always looking for ourselves, right? And we see, and the longer we're faithful, the longer we serve God, the longer, the more clear it gets. And I'm going to move along here. Abraham was given a promise that he would have a son and be a father of a great nation. Joseph was told that he would lead and make a difference in the world. Moses had a dream that he would save his people from slavery. Jacob had a dream that he would be a prince with God. Young David was anointed to be the king at only 17 years of age. Esther believed that she was destined to do something special and that God had brought her to the kingdom for such a time as this. None of these people were special other than that God wanted to use them for his purposes, for his kingdom. In scripture, we see that God comes down to normal, average Joes. And I'm thankful because that's what we are here today, right? Normal, average Joes, and wants to use them for his kingdom. I think you have a couple questions there. Let me go here. Number one, letter A. Who is a candidate of getting a God vision, a God-given vision and purpose and running with it? Here it is. I want you to look here. Who's a candidate? You say, am I a candidate to get a vision for God? If you're sitting and you're breathing here, absolutely, you're a candidate for it. But let's look at some different categories here. Letter A, who's a candidate of a God-given vision being birthed in your life? Letter A, or no, first bullet point. First, young people. Let me talk to you young people real quick. God wants you to dream big dreams for him. God wants you to dream big dreams for him. David was 17. Joseph was 17. Mary was most likely a young teen. The disciples were most likely in their teens. Let me say this. You are never too young to dream of doing something great for God. There was a time when 5, 7, 9, 11, 12, and 14 year olds would come to their parents and say, Mom, Dad, I think God's called me to Africa. Mom, Dad, I think God's called me to preach. Do you think that God's stopped working in the lives of young people like he did 50, 60, 75 years ago? I don't think so. But maybe we as parents can foster that, right? Maybe we as parents can cultivate that type of environment to where they are sensitive and they can do that. Young people, you're never too young to dream for God. My dad would often share the story of the young Walt Disney. You remember what he was doing when he was in class, right? And he would sit down there and he would doodle around. I think, Mr. Greg, I think you worked with somebody that knew him or something. Like, I don't remember. You told me. I think you've shared a couple stories. But Walt Disney, how did it all start? He was just a young boy sitting there in a classroom doodling around, and he would write happy faces on his flowers. You all remember, right? His teacher came to him, and his teacher said, Walt, flowers don't have faces on them. And what did young Walt say? He said, well, my flowers have faces on them. You say, what was that? That was a dream that inspired a young man to start It's a Small World, which turned into Disney World, which is which has transformed a lot of theme parks and entertainment around the world. Say, what was it? A young man that was willing to dream. Young people, why don't you dream? Stop dreaming of, you're not going to go to the NBA, okay? You're not going to the NFL. Just stop it, okay? My son got this thing that he does. Good thing he's out of here. He'd be embarrassed. You know, they walk up and they act like they dunk on someone. They go, I'm him. Young people know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, I'm LeBron. I'm this person. No, you're not. Stop it. Why don't you instead dream of going out and building a great church for God? If I can dream of being a LeBron that dunks that you're never going to do, why don't you dream of going out and building some great work for God that he might use you to do? Young people, you're not too young to dream and get a vision of doing something great for the cause of Christ. Amen. It was James Irwin. He was just a little boy, and he would lay and look out the window at nighttime, and he would say, Mom, one day I want to walk on the moon. One day I want to go to space. And the next point, I'll tell you what happened. Next, not just young people. How about old people? Old people. You say, how old is old? I don't know. It used to be 50. I'm pushing 40. It's not 50 anymore. Brother Ross, how old is old now? Yeah. 35? If 35 is old, you're old, right? You're a senior citizen. Do you get a discount? No. He said, I'll take the discount. It's that Chinese in him, right? Brother Ross is half Chinese, part Jewish, and the rest Cambodian. So he's got anything for a discount, right? All righty. Back to our regularly scheduled broadcast. Old people, Abraham was 75 when God said you're going to have a kid. Moses was 80 when God came to him and called him out. My dad used to share about Colonel Sanders. How old was he? I think he was 65 when he started the first Kentucky Fried Chicken. Been giving people heart attacks ever since, but it tastes good on the way down, does it not? And it's all across. When I mentioned this before, when I went to China, the very first restaurant that I saw when I got out of the Beijing airport, I walk out and I'm thinking, man, this is different. The other Asian countries, they try to speak English to you. There, no English on purpose. And so what do I see? I see a KFC right there. I say, I feel a piece of home. You say, what was that? A 65-year-old that said, I'm not too old to go out and do something great. I'm not too old to start something and build something and be a part of something bigger than myself. Shubal Stearns was, speaking of the political map, I don't know if you've seen it, right? They say red light makes you sleep better at nighttime. All right, all the red on the map. The most red, the most conservative, let me say, let's not politically speaking, sort of say, but the most conservative, I saw an actual picture of evangelicals and Catholics and more and whatnot just yesterday. The most conservative part of our country that votes conservatively, pro-life and whatnot, is the South, is down South. Now, Shubal Stearns, those of you that know the story, we have his name right here on the side of our building, the Stearns School of Church Planning. The goal is that we'll raise up young men to go out and start churches. And Shubal Stearns was I want to say he was 55 when he got a vision to go out and plant a church. 55. He went out, he planted a church. You say, did he have a nice building like we have here today? He did not. He was under a tree. You've seen the picture, right? He had his hand up like this, his Bible right here. He started his church under a tree at 55. They say as a result of his church and his preacher boys and their churches, they started in early America 5,000 churches that really revolutionized the South. You say, what was it? A 55-year-old man that said, I'm not too old to go do something for God. You're never too old to dream of doing something for God. You're not too young. You're not too old. By the way, you say, well, I can't do much. I'm limited in getting around. I was at a church not too long ago. We sang, you know, normally we only sing the first, Brother John, you've talked about this, the first and the last verse of the hymn. And I think it's the fourth verse of the song, Little Is Much. And it really encouraged me, Brother Romero. I saw that and it said, the context of that song was maybe you can't get around like you used to. Maybe you don't have the ability that you used to, but you can still make a difference in the closet in prayer.
Yep.
There's an illustration of a missionary that went to the field, a well-known missionary, and he was done. He was discouraged. He was about to come home. He had already drafted, if I remember correctly, letters saying, I'm done. I quit. Around that time, there were a couple ladies at the church where he was. They made a video. I think it was Goforth, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was Jonathan Goforth. There were some ladies at the home church that said, you know what, I just sense a need to pray for him. And so very consistently and persistently, they started praying for him. And it was right around that time that God really revitalized his ministry and God's great things happened. And he attributes that to that small group of ladies praying. He said, well, I can't get out like I used to. Maybe you get a vision from God to be a prayer warrior,
yep,
to be the wind in the sails to some of our missionaries and our nationals. Yeah. Do we believe that prayer moves the hand that moves the world? You might not be able to drive a bus or get on a bus route. Can you pray for people? Can you pray for pastor? Can you pray for the messages? Can you pray for the soul winners? Can you pray for the bus workers? You can. You're never too old to make a difference for the cause of Christ. I said young people. I said old people. I said men. How about men? By the way, someone said this. The average man lives 70 to 80 years old, but the average man stops living. Oh, they die at 70 to 80, but the average man stops living decades before that. It's true. I think it was Rick Pitino that said he fires his coaches when they turn 40. You say, why? Because a lot of men, when they turn 40, they lose the vision. They lose passion. Men, we need more dreamers that can visualize what can be done instead of looking for reasons why it can't be done. Let me say this. God forbid that Elon Musk, there you are, Brother Ron, I was looking for you. God forbid that Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, is that how you say it? God forbid that they would have more of a vision and a passion to run the government efficiency, whatever it's called, Trump just tapped them today, right? Than we have as men to run our homes and our churches efficiently. God forbid that President Trump would want to make America great again more than that we would want to make family worship and family altar great again. and make our churches great again, and make soul winning great again, and make America holy again. God forbid that RFK would have more of a passion to make America healthy again than we do to make our homes and our churches and our disciples and our Sunday school classes and our bus routes spiritually healthy again, and to feed and to nurture our children spiritually. God forbid they would have more vision out there to send a rocket to Mars so that we can be a Star Wars species rather than us going out and doing something great for God. But I just imagine if men in our churches would get the vision that these secular men with money have, imagine what God could do in our churches for the kingdom of Christ. Not just men, how about women? Say, what does it take to see the dream birth? Now I'm going to give this to you quickly. I've got about 4 minutes left. We'll wrap it up. What does it take to see a dream birthed? First of all, it takes a close and a consistent walk with God. Micah 6:8, he has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, but to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Next, I know I'm moving quickly here. It takes some sacrifice. It takes some sacrifice. I read about Elon Musk and how when he first started Tesla, I know they're in the news a lot, and I like to read history. I like to read what's going on in their lives. Tesla was practically bankrupt. How many of you have Tesla stock? No, I won't have you raise your hand. Someone asked me today, you have Bitcoin? You have Doge? Okay. Tesla was bankrupt. And he said, I have a choice. I can just let it die, and I can take this little money that I have left from PayPal, and I can use it for something else, or I can take literally everything I have left and dump it into Tesla. We know that he chose the latter. He dumped it into Tesla, and Tesla is what it is today, one of the most valuable companies that there is. It takes sacrifice sometimes. I'm thankful for our godly laymen that every single week come early to teach a Sunday school class, drive a bus, work security. Brother Gary, I see him every morning. He's taking two or three on Saturdays as well, two or three bus loads to get our wheelchair people here. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. It takes a walk with God. It takes some sacrifice. Next, it takes a love for righteousness and a hatred for evil. I could talk about that in the lives of Joseph and Daniel and all the ones that we have here listed here tonight. I would like to say this. Let's be careful. God's going to speak to people whose minds aren't polluted. Brother Ross, I got to be careful myself. I find myself, it's easy. With the current politics, there is more profanity in this society than there ever has been before. And unfortunately, conservative politicians are leading the way. If we're not careful, we can become desensitized. I don't want to be desensitized to profanity, swear words. I don't want to be desensitized to that. Not in my entertainment in my home, not on my Twitter feed, none of that. I sometimes someone will open up and by the way, Brother Ross, I'm going to lose friends here. I really am. If we listen to podcasts that are dropping the F-bomb, but they supported Trump. Okay, but they're dropping the F-bomb like every third sentence. How can you not get desensitized? How can those words not bounce around in your ear, in your mind, and eventually into your heart? I know it's not popular, but man, I see that stuff and I say, man, it's easy. If I'm not careful, I will get desensitized. We'll all get desensitized to that. Who does God give a dream to? God gives a dream. You see it very clearly with each of these men that love righteousness and that hate iniquity. Number one, there's the birth of the vision. I've got to move here. I've got about 2 minutes left. Then there's the death of a vision. There's the death of the vision. I think I skipped some blanks there. I apologize. You can get them from us afterwards. Genesis 37:5. It didn't take very long. Joseph dreamed a dream, and what happened? His brothers said, great, I'm happy for you. No, his brothers hated him yet the more. You see that he was thrown into the pit. He was thrown into, he was sold to Potiphar before he came to the palace. Let me say this quickly. The second phase of a God-given vision is the death of the dream. So what do you mean? Joseph had a dream. He went to a pit. He was sold to Potiphar. He was thrown into prison before he got to the palace. Moses believed he would save God's people. Then he spent 40 years in the wilderness. Abraham was given the promise that he would have a baby. Then he spent 25 years until he was 100 years old, childless. David was anointed. Then he ended up in the cave. Jacob was given the birthright, but then he had to flee and live with his in-laws, oh my, for 20 years before he saw God face to face and had a name change. I have plenty of illustrations here. You can look at a Steve Jobs. You can look at a people in the secular world, an Elon Musk. You can look at a James Irwin who wanted to go to the moon. Then he suffered an almost fatal accident that practically killed his vision. Generally speaking, God will give us a vision, and then we will go through a season of a wilderness time that it seems like the vision has died. It's during that time where faithfulness will determine whether or not you see the fulfillment of that vision. Parents, especially we have teen kids, there might be a death of the vision. Financially, there might be a death of the vision. Man, you're going to go out and plant a church. I know a couple of you, you want to go out and plant a church. Some of you want to go to the mission field. There's going to be a season where you think, man, I had this great vision to do great things for God. And sometimes it seems like the vision died. Every one of the great people in Scripture that God used to do great things went through a death of the vision. The Bible says in Galatians 6:9, I'll be done. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Number three, the realization of the vision. The realization of the vision. You see, Genesis 41:1, it came to pass that Pharaoh dreamed the dream, and that was the avenue, the vehicle that would bring Joseph in to see the vision come to pass. I think you have this here. Those who dream for God get a vision of what God can do in their lives and stay faithful many times get to see the vision come to pass. Let's get a God-given vision for our lives to count for eternity. Let's stay faithful through the death of the vision. And let's see the Lord's vision come to pass in our lives, our families, our church, and for eternity. Parents, let's keep that vision for our children in front of us. Ministry workers, let's keep that vision for our ministries in front of us. Husbands and wives, let's keep that vision for a godly, Christ-honoring marriage in front of us. Let's not lose it. You say, what is it like to experience the fulfillment of the vision? I'll tell you, we're sitting in it tonight. Many of you, 10 and 15 and 20 years ago, you remember. Again, I've said it multiple times. I remember midnight, Mary was 1 year old. She was still in a car seat. And we were sitting right here at midnight. We had a deadline, Brother Ross, and we were tying rebar. I still have a scar right here from across my hand from doing that in the dark. You say, what was it? A lot of sacrifice, a lot of time, sometimes setbacks. But this is the fulfillment of the vision. But let me say this. At Pacific Baptist Church, the vision hasn't ended getting into this building. It's only begun. It's only begun. God wants to use his people, old people, young people, couples, families, individuals, men, women, children, teenagers, to see the vision that God has for our church come to pass. Let's get behind it. Let's get a God-given vision, and let's go forward for the glory of God. Let's all stand together. We will pray, and we will dismiss. Thank you so much for your attention. Thanks for being here on an off night. I appreciate it. We look forward to those that will be at the couples retreat together over the next couple days. Let's pray, and we will dismiss. Lord, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you for the lives of individuals that you've given us to learn from. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, every one of us as individuals, as couples, as families, as a church, young, old, men, women, young people, to get a vision from you. Help us not just to exist. Help us not to just float in this life, but help us to ask, what's my life purpose? Help us to tackle it with every fiber of our being. Make a difference for the cause of Christ and for eternity. Well, thank you for it. Please be with us as we go our way tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.